My husband and I have known Kurt and Sherry Johnson for many, many years. We've been involved in ministry at different times over our lifespan. When we heard, how long ago was the accident? 5 years ago. When we heard about the accident 5 years ago, of course, it was very devastating news to us. And a few months after Sherry was in her accident, we were in Colorado where she was in a rehabilitation hospital. And my husband and I went to visit her there. And we were in a waiting room, and Kurt went to get his beautiful wife, and we were just kind of sitting together. And we were looking at each other and saying, you know, what is this going to be like? How are we going to feel when she comes in the room? What are we going to be able to say to encourage her? We were a little bit uncomfortable. And we waited for a short time, and then the doors of that room opened, and Kurt pushed in the glory of God. It was as if sunshine and glory just entered that room in a wheelchair. And we both were just blown away. And we had a wonderful time of fellowship with Kurt and Sherry. And we went away feeling like we had really added nothing as far as encouragement to them, but they had lifted us up as we walked away and left that hospital. It was an amazing experience. And as my husband and I traveled to many places in the world, remote places, poor places, we see a lot of suffering. And maybe it's just because I have a feminine perspective to life, but I often feel like women suffer the most in the world, whether it's from an abusive husband, whether it's from poverty, whether it's from a disease or an illness or an injury, women suffer. And oftentimes one of the verses that I use is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at the very end of the chapter. Paul wrote these verses. He was very familiar with suffering. And he said, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And Paul is teaching us that glory and affliction go together. We see affliction, we don't see the glory. The affliction in the eyes of God is just temporary. Even if you are afflicted and suffer for your whole lifetime, it's like a little dot compared to eternity. And Paul says that the suffering is light, like a feather. But the glory is not seen on this earth, but the glory is heavy, it is weighty. Hebrew word for glory actually means weighty. And it's not seen, but it's weighty and it is eternal. And whenever we look in about suffering in Scripture, you will see the word glory or the principle of glory coupled up with affliction and suffering. And that day that Sherry was pushed into that waiting room, we were actually able to see what is normally the unseen glory of God. And I think that's what you will see and hear through her message today. I'm sorry, getting a little bit emotional. let's just pray and then we'll welcome Sherry. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this life that you have given us. We thank you, Father, that you have given us not only physical life, but you have given us a spiritual life, and you intend for that spiritual life to bring abundance into each and every day. Father, you are the only source of that. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, abiding in Jesus Christ, that is the source of abundant life and eternal life. And we thank you for this gift. And Father, we thank you for the message that you have given to Sherry Johnson through the things that she has been afflicted with, through the things that she has suffered. But we know, Father, that it's been by your grace and by your truth because you are working in her life. You're also working in our life today, and so we pray that you would open our hearts and help them to be open and soft and flexible to the things that you have to teach us. Please strengthen her today, Father, for your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Ms. Sherry Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you. Can anybody help hear me back there? Hello, beautiful person.
It's such a pleasure. It sounds like I'm coming in and out, but
try it again.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of lung capacity, so mics are really good for me at this point. But I just want to, first of all, say what a pleasure it is to be here with all of you today. And I feel like God brought us all together for a reason. And each and every one of us are here, and God wants us to spend time with Him. And this is a time for us just to praise Him and fellowship together and enjoy the Lord. And that is my hope for you today. If I were to ask all of you if you've ever been in a storm, if you've ever experienced any kind of storm, I would imagine every single one of you would raise your hands. Right? How many of you have ever experienced maybe flooding? Any flooding? Some people? We've seen some horrific flooding in Louisiana recently, right? How about lightning storms, thunderstorms? If you live in Arizona, you've experienced those, right? How about tornadoes? Has anyone ever experienced a tornado? Those are horrifying. And we've seen all the destruction in the lake, right? How about hurricane-force winds that, especially on the coast, anyone's been in a hurricane? So we have a lot of people that have experienced a lot of different kinds of storms. And whether it's a little rainstorm or a big storm, one of the things we want to make sure is that we're protected, right? We're always looking to make sure we're inside and we're not outside those storms can get us. Well, in life, we have life storms. And all of us have had life storms, right? How many have had health issues? I think almost everyone's going to raise their hand. How about family issues? You've had issues with family? Maybe job? Financial. Anyone who lives in America has had some financial issues, right? How about friends? Right? School? There's a lot of different kinds of life storms that we have, and every one of you has a story. And every one of you could share with the rest of us your life storms and your story. Today, God has asked me to share a couple of mine with you. And I just want today to be a time of encouragement. And a reminder, many of the things we talk about, we all know. But God wants us to be reminded because we need to remember these things when we face our life storms. And so today, I want to talk about the anchored soul. Because we can be anchored in our life storms. And I call them 10 pearls of protection that God gives us in life storms. And the reason I call them that is because as people were asking me over the last 2 years, how have you walked through the different things that God has allowed in your life? And as I started talking about it, I realized all the things that I was mentioning started with the letter P. And so I came up with these 10 P's. But nobody really understood what that meant. And they were kind of picturing little green vegetables. What are the 10 P's? So I thought about something else that started with P. That was treasure. That was valuable. That was strong. Impermeable. And not. And truly, these gifts from God are like pearls. And these are the things that have helped us walk through our life storms. The first storm I want to talk to you about started September 27, 2000. We're almost 16 years from that day. And it was a Wednesday afternoon. I was in my daughter's kindergarten classroom. I was the teacher's assistant that year, and every Wednesday afternoon I had the class. It was right after lunch, and all the little ones were laying on their little blankets resting, and Shirley Lutz, who was working at Westside School, told me I had a phone call. It was my doctor. And in that kindergarten classroom, my doctor let me know that I had breast cancer. And just feet away, my daughter lying there. As soon as I finished talking with the doctor, honey came home. How many moms do we have in here? Lots of moms. You can imagine my very first thought as soon as I had my mom. Guess what? It was Psalm 139:16. The very first thought that came into my mind, the Holy Spirit brought a verse that I hadn't read for years. I didn't even quite remember where it was found. But basically, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All my days were ordained, and whether I had seen for cancer or seen for a cold, if it wasn't my time, I wasn't going anywhere. The very next thought, nanoseconds later, was Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. In those moments, after I found out I had cancer, the Holy Spirit immediately brought to mind the Word of God to give me comfort and hope. That's our first pearl. Promises and principles. Promises and principles. Knowing and applying the Word of God is the key to successfully walking the journey of faith and growth through times of suffering, struggles, testing, and temptation. We all know this, right? So we always do it. And the key is applying. We can learn the Word of God, but it doesn't do the things we don't apply the Word of God. And there is a verse in the Bible I learned as a child that has taken on new meaning for me since I started this journey. Psalm 119:11 says, your word have I treasured in my heart, that I will not sin against you. And as a child, I knew that meant lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, murder, all of those things, right? How about in storms of life? Can we sin against God in our storms? How about doubt and worry and fear that we let take hold and seed in our souls? And we say, God, you're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You're not brave enough to take me through this storm. Because I gotta worry about it. And I've gotta fret about it. And that's certainly gonna make me get through this storm a lot better. Have you ever thought about that verse applying to your storms? Because we can sin against God in our storms. But if we know God, and we can't know God if we don't know His Word, and we can't trust God if we don't know God. We can't trust Him when we don't know. But here's something else that I learned in my life. It's so important to learn from a great teacher. A great Bible teacher that God has gifted. And I've learned from some of the best, including the one that's teaching this week. But ladies, there's something else I've learned. We have to be able to word ourselves every single day. You know, we feed our souls every day. We really do feed our bodies, we feed our souls. If we feed our bodies through things, our bodies do much better. If we eat junk food, our bodies don't do so well. If we feed our soul with food, because something's going to fill up our soul. And if it's the Word of God, then we've renewed our mind. Romans 12:2 tells us, don't be conformed to the world. The world will tell you to handle a storm this way. The world will tell you to live this way. But if you transform your mind, then you will prove that the will of God is. That is good, acceptable, and perfect. I have learned that I need to spend time with God and His Word. And the days that I don't are completely different kind of days. So So the beauty of God is he brought his word to my soul. And you can imagine, nanoseconds after that, I lived it. My beautiful little girl. Isn't she adorable? She's just a cute little thing. And she's so adorable. But I looked at her, and immediately I started talking with God. She's so little, Father. She's me. I want to be there. I want to watch her grow. I want to see all the stages. The good, the bad, the ugly. I want to be there for all of it. And she needs her mama. And God just reminded me, she's mine. And I love her more than you. And I will always take care of her. And I will provide all of her needs. And that is our second pearl is prayer. Being able to turn to God and commune with him and hear what he has to say back and talk to him and take our troubles and worries. Prayer is so key. And you know, I don't think that we truly use it like we should. If we really understood the power of prayer, we would be doing what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. Pray without ceasing. We would be having a conversation with God throughout the day. And it wouldn't be just about help me do this, help me do that, give me this, give me that. We'd be praising God. We'd be petitioning for other people. We'd be communing with God. There's power in prayer. And because of our time, I'm not going to have us look up these verses and this passage. So I'm just going to, because of where we're at in our time, I'm going to adjust things a little bit. But I want to tell you about an account from 2 Chronicles 20. King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He had just finished fighting a battle where he lost a lot of his army. He had lost the battle. And he found out that three different kingdoms were coming against him. They had joined forces, and it was, the Bible calls it a great multitude, which means thousands upon thousands upon thousands of soldiers coming to attack Judah and wipe them out. And they did not have an army that could fight this force. The very first thing that King Jehoshaphat did was he was afraid. Is that legitimate? Is there a legitimate fear? Right? But what did he do with the fear? That's when we're tempted to take that fear and let it grow into a seed that destroys our soul. He sought the Lord, and he called all of Judah together, and he said, we're going to fast, and he brought them together, and he started praying. And the first thing he said, oh Lord God, are you not God? Are you not sovereign over everything? He recognized God's sovereignty. Are you not all-powerful over everyone? He recognized God's omnipotence, all-powerful God. And he said, we are powerless. We don't know what to do, but you do. So we are calling out to you. And through this prophet, God said to him, in 2 Chronicles 20:15, do not be dismayed, do not be afraid, because the battle is not yours, it is God's. Whenever we start to fight the battle ourselves, we're telling God that we're a better soldier than him. We all do it. And here's the beauty of it. He said, don't worry, I'm with you. Go out and fight this army tomorrow. Just go out, actually, go out and see what I will do. They fell down on their faces, worshiped God, they believed God, they trusted God. They went out the next day, and this is my favorite part. God set the armies against each other, and they all fought each other. And by the time Judah got there, and by the way, when God started that battle, is when they started praising him for his deliverance. And when they got there, they were all dead. All the soldiers from all three armies had killed each other. That's God. And that's the power of prayer. And that's what God does. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet upon the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. I waited patiently. Sometimes we want right now, and God says no. No, because if I give it to you right now, you're going to lose the blessing that will come along with whatever you're going through. And I don't waste anything. And when I give you something to go through, there's a reason for that. Also, if you remember, I told you that God said, I will be with you both in battle. And God's presence is our third pearl, because our omnipresent God is always with us. He tells us in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you. I will not ever forsake you. Do you ever ask God to be with you? Do we need to ask God to be with us? He's with us. We don't need to ask God to be with us. He's with us. He has told us, I will never leave you. Now, we don't always maybe feel his presence. And I think it's legit to ask him to help us feel that he's there. But this is something that is a promise that you can count on. And I, from that day in a classroom for the next 10 years, was so thankful for God's presence and the prayer and his promises, because we began a 10-year journey with battling cancer. On that day. Over a 9-year period, I had it 5 times diagnosed. I had 5 surgeries, 2 major radiations, one that burned a hole in my chest that still isn't completely healed. That was in 2009. It had, by that time, it had spread to my hip bone, underneath my lymph chain, stage 4, a big time. Chemo we tried. And it was really, my body could not handle the lowest dose it had, and they stopped it. I did countless hours of natural treatment. Countless hours. And we spent so much money, and we did the juice cleansing, and the fast, and hydrotherapy, and of course all the organics, and more than 400 IVs in this one arm over that period of time. We actually counted them up. Because if we couldn't use this arm. And so many hours, the doctors and the scans and sitting in clinics. But that's where God took us. That's where God had us. And hours and hours at home by myself. I would watch my daughter, Lori, and my husband, Kurt, leave to go to church or to a family holiday gathering or to some, maybe the friends inviting us over. And I just couldn't go. I was so weak. Some days I had to crawl on the floor to get around my house. That was just the reality of it. And so I was thinking by myself, do you know what? Ladies, I was never lonely. Because I wasn't alone. And God used all of those times. So let me spend time with studying this word, praying, getting to know him, and little did I know at that time that preparation was for something so huge that I never would have imagined, and I didn't know that I needed to know him that well, because the storm that was coming was going to be a huge test. Nan already mentioned it. But let me do a little more than you, the rest of the story. Our family was on our way to California on the I-10. Most of you know the I-10. We're just east of Portside. March 5th, 2011, we were in a horrific accident. Horrific. I was in the middle seat with my daughter, Lauren. We were in our van. She was, we each had bucket seats. And so I didn't see it coming. I just heard my husband Kurt say, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." And then I just heard all the noise you can imagine, the noise and the sound. I just closed my eyes. Lauren was screaming, and I was trying to call her down, actually. The mom, Jean, you know, kicks in. "It's gonna be okay, it's alright. Just relax." When it all stopped, and I opened my eyes, the car was filling with this smoky substance. We ended up the car was on fire. And Kurt just yelled, "Everybody get out." And I was kind of slumped down in my chair a little bit. The seatbelt had completely held me. And I realized I couldn't move anything. I couldn't move anything. And my left leg, I had crossed over my right leg. It was still there. And I couldn't move it. And so I just said to him, "I can't move." Well, he jumped out of the front seat. The airbag had protected him. Lauren, he got the car door open. We found out later she couldn't see. Everything was black. She thought she was blind. She got a little brain injury. And we didn't know at the time that she broke her collarbone. So she stumbled out. Kurt helped her over to the side of the road. She wasn't sure who was helping her. She passed out. But there was a retired firefighter that stopped. So I'd already had a collision right there. And then Kurt came around to find my door open. But during all the time he was doing that, I was there in the van, and my first thought was, this is so ironic. I've been fighting cancer for 10 years, and I'm going to die in a car accident. Because I knew I was dying. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew it was really bad. And my lungs were weak. The muscles were paralyzed, so I couldn't expand my lungs. The only thing that was moving was this little diaphragm muscle. And the poor little thing was just barely moving. And so it was trying to keep me alive. What I didn't know is that I'd broken my neck very badly. And my 6th and 7th vertebrae had been shoved off of my spinal column into my throat. They weren't even on my spinal column anymore. Of course, the disc was all smashed, and my spinal cord was being pinched that whole time. I was also bleeding a lot internally. And as I was there in the car, I thought, "Do you know, I'm actually going to see Jesus. After all these years of knowing him on earth, I'm going to be in his presence at any time. I'm going to actually find a way to see him." And there was like this joyous anticipation and complete confidence. I knew where I was going. Not because of me, but because of him. Because of what Jesus had done for me on the cross. And then Kurt got the door open, and I knew I needed to tell him to walk. So I said to him, "I'm very broken. I'm not going to make it. I love you." And you think about the last words that you think you're speaking on earth, and I think a lot of us are the words of love. And you think of Jesus on the cross, his last act, the last thing he did before he died, was an act of love. And then I knew Lauren wasn't there, and I stood to tell Lauren I love her. That's when I got sad, because I wanted to see her one more time. I wanted to say goodbye. I wanted to hear her. I wanted to tell her I loved her. And here's what God did. In that moment, God told me in my soul, not audibly, I wasn't hearing voices, don't worry. It's not your time. You have more left to do on earth. All your days were written before there was one. And at that moment, I knew I was going to make it. And it actually wasn't my time, even though I was dying, that God was going to save me. The helicopter came. They had too many people on board, so all three of us couldn't get in. So they had to, her had to decide, do I go with my 16-year-old daughter? She had just turned 16 3 weeks before the accident. Do I go with her to the hospital with life in the ambulance, or do I go with Sherry in the helicopter? Well, obviously, you go with your daughter to life. And so I was there in the helicopter one day, awake the whole time, never lost consciousness. God was with me. And the whole time, I was just talking to him. There's that prayer. We can talk to him 24/7. If Jesus came, I was right here, and speaking, we would be clamoring to talk to him. We would be clamoring to hear what he had to say. We have him with us 24/7. We should be clamoring to talk to our God. We get so distracted by life. And then Satan is one of the best tools, is distraction, especially in America today. But that can keep you so busy, I have so much stuff in your life, where you can have time to spend with God. I'm so thankful for prayer. I kept talking to him. I said, Father, this is big. I don't know what this is, but this is big. And I don't know what you're going to do with this, but oh my goodness, I can't even move. I'm paralyzed. But here's what I know. You have a plan. And that's Pro 4. God's plan. Knowing that God had a plan, and a plan that had purpose, was so important to helping me walk through that story. God has designed a plan specifically for each and every one of us. Everyone in this room has a plan designed by God. Custom made for you. And he began that plan in your mother's womb. Psalm 139, I am fearfully, wonderfully made, was woven in secret. And he has been weaving this amazing masterpiece of your life since that time. And he looks up from heaven, and here's this big, huge canvas and tapestry, and every day, a new little string, a new little thread. And we look from the backside, and we see all these strings hanging down. You've ever seen the backside of a cross stitch or a tapestry? It doesn't always look the same as the front, does it? That's what we see. The God sees actually the whole finished picture. And for those of us who love him and are called according to his purpose, he works it together for good. Even what you meant for bad and evil, as Joseph said to his brothers, God meant for good. And God takes all of these things. Now there's some suffering we go through that we caused ourselves. And God never intended that to be our life. Because we've gone off the path, off the plan. But even with that, when we come back and turn back to God, he can redeem all of that too. And someday in heaven, we're going to get to see that tapestry. And it's going to be beautiful. But right now, that's what he's doing in your soul. He's creating this plan. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. Those words are so powerful and so amazing. For good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we would walk in them. God has prepared plans for you. They're perfect plans. They're for your good, not your harm. That you would walk in them. And knowing that God doesn't waste anything, and knowing that through the whole cancer journey, and everything is for a purpose, and you've got to have a purpose. And you get a plan. And so while we pray for healing for me, and many people pray for healing, we also pray your will. Whatever is best for you, for my life on earth, that's what we want. It's not always an easy prayer to pray. For Jesus prayed in the garden. And we knew that God could heal the spinal cord that had been pinched for 8 hours before I even got into surgery. And then who knows when they finally released it. And afterwards, I still couldn't move it. Because if your spinal cord is damaged, it's just like in shock. And they had no idea what's going to come back. We didn't know. They say it takes the first 2 years to really find out how much will come back typically. And little by little, certain things came back. I can move my arms, but my tricep muscles don't work. So you lift my arm up, it would just fall right in my face. I had no control over my arms. And then my hands and fingers wouldn't move at all. And they didn't know if they ever would. In fact, the OT, a lot of people with my level of injury, they don't get the use of their fingers. They're kind of just bent over. And at first I had a strap. They put it around my hand and stick the fork or the spoon in the side of it. You eat this way, and I can finally eat. It took me a while before I could do that. But I just prayed. There's those prayers for use of the hands. And if you look at my hands, they're a little misshapen. My arms and hands do not work completely well. And my hands are very weak. There's a lot of things I cannot do with my hands. I can't use tweezers, which I found as we get older, we need more. That's the most part. I need to be able to use tweezers. I can't use clips in my hair, polishes, or curl that I can't even open through an iron. I still have any grip. It's hard to hold a pen to write. And you don't realize it takes pressure to write. You don't think about that, but it does. But you know what I can do? I can hold a makeup brush. I can hold, because I can use these fingers like this, I can hold an eyeliner. And Kurt and I are both extremely thankful for that. He is the health of my hair in the cans. We call him Mauricio, my hairdresser. But, he's limited, but he's amazing. Or he's done. Anyway, let me back to this. So God has a perfect plan, and I knew that. And I just wanted to fulfill it. If God allows these things in our lives, we don't want to waste them by walking through it in a way that doesn't honor Him and bring glory to Him. When I learned of cancer, the verses and the passages that God kept bringing to me were verses of hope and comfort. When I had the accident, the verses that God kept bringing to me were verses of His love. And I think it's because a lot of times we think love has to look a certain way. And how does this look like love? And it's a matter of trusting this love when it doesn't look like it. And I remember early on in the hospital telling Kurt, you know, God does not have to prove His love to me because He already did. That day that Jesus died on the cross, the God of the universe sent His Son, and His Son, who was so perfect and did nothing wrong, took every sin of every human being that has ever lived and ever will live on His beautiful soul. And I thought about what my sins do to my soul. I can't even imagine what billions and billions of people's sin did to His soul. Paying for that on the cross. God demonstrated His love to us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. There's love. And everything He does after that, we're His children. If we're God's children and we do wonderful things for our kids, imagine how much more God in heaven wants to do for us. And we have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 1:3. Are we using them? I'm not. How about you? Do we know what they even are? God has given us all these gifts. It's like Christmas morning, and the tree is full. And we say, oh, no, thanks. I don't think I want to open gifts today. I'll wait a couple years. They're all right there. We've got to learn His Word to know what those gifts are. Comes back to His Word. Always. So, when I was first in the hospital, it was very difficult. I remember when I woke up from surgery. Boy. It was hard to even think. There was a lot of medication, of course, and a lot of pain. And my whole body felt like someone had taken this huge 500-pound armor and just encased me in it and then squeezed it as tight as they possibly could. And I couldn't expand my lungs. I could hardly breathe. The feeding tube had a lot of stuff on it. It had hardened. And it was just rubbing against my throat. They did surgery from the back and the front. It was an 8-hour surgery. I put my neck all together. A plate, fused, three different vertebrae were fused. Pins, nuts, bolts, who knows what all the doing. Trying to put this thing back together. And there were days it was hard to be alive. And I don't know if you've ever been in that much pain or that much discomfort in life where it's just actually hard to be alive. It doesn't mean that you don't want to be. It's just hard to do. And all I could do was just cry out, Father, help me. That's all I can say. I can't do anything else. Just help me. And God always was there. And He always came through. And He knew what to pray, even when I didn't. And what helped me so much from that point, and even in cancer, and from that point to this day, because there are very hard days. With our next pearl, and that's perspective. And beautiful sisters, this is huge. I found this to be huge. How we deal with life storms depends on our trusting God, and whether we are looking at our circumstances through His eyes or our eyes. Have you ever done that one little exercise? You take your finger, you need to do it right now. Why don't you just take your finger, pull me, curl it up into a little ball, and then try to look through it. That's our view compared to God's. And that's not even good because God's omniscient. That's not even sufficient, but it kind of tells you. God's perspective, He says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as heaven and the earth, my thoughts from your thoughts, my ways from your ways. We might not get it. We might not understand the why. I actually personally don't ask the why. I actually want to know the what and the how. What is it you want to accomplish through this, and how do you want me to walk through it? And if He wants to tell me the why, that's awesome. I'm liking that. But He may not ever tell me the why. So for me, those are not, that's what I'm always looking at. Do you remember the account in 2 Kings 6 when there was an army that came to capture Elisha the prophet? Because he was telling the king of Israel what this army was doing, all their plans in private. They were warring against the king of Israel, and they were making plans in private. And it seemed like the king kept finding out about him. That's because God was telling Elisha. Elisha was telling the king. And so he sent this big army to go capture Elisha. And his servant woke up the next morning, huge army, chariots, horses, surrounding the city with this one guy. And the servant said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? To Elisha, he said, those that are with us are greater than these people. And I said to God, please open his eyes and let him see. And when he opened his eyes, all around that army was an angel army with chariots of fire. Right now in this room, there's an angel army. And we have to trust God's perspective because we are in a spiritual battle. That God is greater than the one of this world, and he's the one in us. Hebrews 12:2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Set aside all the things that are encumbrances for you and the sin, because Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. And I have this chair. I'm going to show it to you. This nifty little chair. One of the things that happens with spinal cord injury, my level, and by the way, I'm quadriplegic. I'm paralyzed from my underarm down. I have no trunk control. If you see me go forward, that's because my arms are catching me. If they didn't, I would fall out of the chair. And quadriplegic means that all four limbs are affected. So like I was telling you before, I have some nerves in my arms and hands that don't even work. And from here, part of my arm all the way down, I'm numb all the time. And then sometimes I get popping in my neck, makes me more numb. And I'm more numb today than I was 2 years ago. I've lost some function that I had 2 years ago. So we just keep praying that that would stop. And I would certainly appreciate that for that, that I at least maintain what I've got, so I don't lose any. But one of the things that happens is all those functions in the spinal cord don't work. So I can't regulate my body temperature. I'm more like a loser. I take on the temperature of the surroundings. So extreme heat is really dangerous and deadly. I actually had a quadriplegic that died last year because he was left on the outside too long. And blood pressure. So my blood pressure is very, very low. And in fact, Gloria has experienced that with me in the hospital. So I have this chair. And I get to go back. And what it does is it brings all the blood back from my legs back up into my head. Hello. But think about it. Where am I looking when I'm back? God gives us pictures all the time. I was in the hospital a total of 8 months that first year. 5.5 months back home for 3, back in the hospital for 2 more surgeries. I had a total of 5 surgeries that first year. And that, the two surgeries were in the hospital right around Christmas time, in fact, 2 days before Christmas. And it was a flap surgery, one of them, for a pressure wound. And they're very delicate surgeries. So they did the surgery on the 23rd, and then for 5 weeks I had to lay flat on my back in bed, and nothing could move anything. And I just rolled my wallet for 5 weeks. So my view was the door, the window, the ceiling, and God was saying, Sherry, look up. And on those days when I'm looking up, I can see Gina and Aaron with such joy in my soul, because the joy comes from him. And on those days when I don't, and I get the encumbrances, an overwhelmingness, and I can find myself getting fearful, I know that I've lost my perspective. This is such a key point. So I focus on what I can do instead of what I can't. And what I do have instead of what I don't have. And I thank God for what I do have. I have so much. I'm thankful for it. I'm so blessed. I have the most amazing family. I have an inheritance in heaven that is uncorruptible, will never fade away. I have a sealing of the Holy Spirit. I have the dwelling of the Spirit. I have a God of all comforts who comforts me. I have a God who loves me so much that nothing is separating me from his love. Just go to the Psalms if you want to feel good. If you want to change your perspective, start reading about your God in Psalms. That is a beautiful, beautiful book and I read through it many times over the last 16 years. It will change your perspective. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding, you won't get it. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct those paths. He'll make your path straight. He'll take you down that path that He has for you. But you have to trust Him. Fear or faith? Number six is provision. God provides all of our needs. Physical, spiritual, emotional. Some of you in this room have helped to provide some of our needs. I don't even know all the ones you have because we have a fund set up. We don't know who has donated to the fund, but that fund has helped us tremendously. Cancer depleted our finances hugely. The accident decimated them and blew them out of the water and just made them all go away. The first year was more than $1 million. The man who caused the accident had no insurance. We had just the basic stuff you get. So we had limited insurance. We're still in our home, although at this point you can be praying about that because it really is a month-to-month deal right now. God's doing the George Mueller thing where I'm going to provide for this month. And then we'll see. And just trust me, we'll provide for next month. And we're really at that point. But truly, people is another P. But I didn't put it separately because it goes under provision. But God's people have done so much for us. Some of you came to the hospital to help feed me. I couldn't feed myself. And you came and helped feed me. Some of you have helped turn me in bed at night. We still need that help. Big time. Kurt's tired. Kurt's weary. For all these years, every 2 hours we have to get up and turn. We haven't slept through the night. Now, he slept through the night when I was in the hospital. I will not ever sleep through the night again. That's just the reality of this injury. But he's tired and he's weary. You can imagine, I'm a caregiver for soul. I think we are. We are as women. And it's so hard for me to watch him do that and not be able to step in and help. And you know, when I told you that we pray for healing, I would love to be able to just walk in the grass again and feel maybe my feet. I would love to walk along the ocean. I love walking along the beach. I love dancing with my husband. I would love to go and walk with my daughter for hockey. She now finally likes it. I tried to get her to like it all these years, and now she likes it. I would love that. But I don't know if I'm going to dance again when this might happen. I will dance again. There was a time I danced and played among the flowers, green grass blade. But now my days are much more staid. Long treads by feet no longer made. But only for a while you see will this sort of state disable me. For some days soon, his days will be smiling on my soul set free. And on that day, I'll once more run. I'll leap and dance for God's dear son. But long ago, my soul was won. When on the cross, this world was done. So much provision, so many answered prayer. I wish I had time to go. But one additional thing I just want to talk about real quick about provision. The ladies in my small group Bible study bought this for me, the armor of God. Before we get up every morning, we really should think about this armor. We really should put this on. Because the battle is raging right now. Oh my goodness, the enemy doesn't want you to listen to what I'm saying to you. He would like to make it even warmer in here so we could all fall asleep. I don't even know if he tried to keep you from coming. He gave me an hour of sleep last night. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. And it tells us that we are to not just resist the devil, stand back and just go, okay, no, we push back. The word is actually push back. You've got God, the power that created the universe, the power of the resurrection. Push back. But you've got to have his armor. That's one of his provisions. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Great verse. I know what Paul is referring to in the context of it. It applies in our lives in so many ways. Number 7 is power. We have the omnipotent God. He gives us the strength we need to live this life victoriously. And there has been so many times that God's power has shown through in my life. And Paul tells us, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And he learned to be content. He didn't just get to be content. He learned it. This is a process. God is constantly growing us every day. And he takes us through one circumstance and prepares us for the next circumstance. And his power is what has gotten us through. And he tells us his grace is sufficient. Because his power is made perfect in weakness. And that's from 2 Corinthians. Paul number 8 is God's peace. Have you ever lacked peace in your life? God gives us peace if we use his word to guard our minds, give him our burdens, and trust that he'll help us. Do you know when we say, oh, give me your peace, God gives you peace, and he says, give me your burdens. You want my peace? Then don't be anxious, don't be worrying about anything. In everything, by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your request to me, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. In Jesus, Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. The picture of peace is in a boat, an amazing, horrific storm, with waves lapping over the side, winds howling, and disciples that are sure they're going to die. And there is Jesus sleeping. That's the picture of peace. And Jesus stood up and said, peace be still, and the storm stopped. Jesus controls the storm. And Jesus controls the boat. He controls it all. God gives us peace in our soul. I have to tell you, there are times I have felt that peace passes all understanding. There's no reason to have that peace where God has given it to me. Poem number 9 is praise. When we praise God for who he is and all he's done, he gives us joy, gives us comfort, gives us peace, your appreciation. Have you ever found when you praise God what that does to your soul? Think about it. And it's not just in church that we praise God. We should be singing praises to God all the time. And praising God doesn't have to always be sung. It's just thanking him. And just pouring out. I've spent so much time just in awe that God of the universe does what he does for us. And just pouring out to him. And we pour out our praise and he pours in his joy and comfort and peace. You can't be praising God and not feel this deep joy. There's one of my joys right there. Praise the Lord. There's so many times in the psalmist says, praise the Lord. In his sanctuary, in his mighty expense, for what he's done, for his excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. How often do you praise the Lord? This is a pearl that helps you get through the storm. His praise. And the last one, it's kind of a result. Perseverance. God has a purpose behind our storms. He uses our trials to draw us closer to him. He tests our faith for our benefit and knows how where our faith stands. And then when we trust him, we get patient endurance leading to maturing. And James, I've been studying James lately. Consider it joy when you encounter trials. Did James and Peter and Paul all suffer when they encountered trials? Yes. The testing of your faith produces endurance, and let that have its perfect result. You may be complete, lacking in nothing. And later in the same chapter, it says, those who persevere through testing will receive the crown of life. God knows we're going to suffer. He knows we live in a fallen world. He's a loving Father. He's given us all these provisions and all these things to help us through. And then He blesses us for letting Him help us through the storm. It's like, whoa. Is that not an amazing God? He's such an amazing God. And you can't help but have joy in your heart when you focus on God. And no matter what your storms are, and I know you're all going through them, you've gone through them, you might be in one right now, there might be something coming, there is something coming. Okay. There's no mind about it.
There's something coming.
I think we all know that. We have brothers and sisters around the world suffering greatly with horrific persecution. And we should be praying for them and helping any way we can, but it's coming. The persecution has already started. We need to be ready. And Paul had to learn to be content. He had to learn that God has supplied all his needs. We need to every day be preparing ourselves and learning. And so when the storms hit, and you find out you have cancer in the classroom, or you're in a helicopter, completely paralyzed, heading to a trauma unit in a Phoenix hospital, you have protection for your soul. Because what can happen, and we see it happen to a lot of souls, is people turn away from God. And they get mad at God. And they jump right out of that refining pot into the fire. And one thing that's protecting them, they run away from it. But if you let God protect you, and you let Him take you through, I can tell you, it's a beautiful thing. And He blesses you through it all. I want to just encourage you this next month to choose a verse. I'm sorry, choose a book and read through it. Choose a couple verses and memorize them. When I was in the hospital, initially after the accident, I didn't have access to a Bible. I couldn't hold a Bible. We didn't have a smartphone with the app. We didn't have any recorded Bible. And the only word I had was the words of my soul. And we find ourselves like that at times. And that's my encouragement for you. And please, would you just put us on your prayer list? Because we do need continued prayer. And I'm just so thankful that we spend this time. I had a video I wanted to show you. I don't know if Kurt actually set that up with Wi-Fi. I don't know if... I wanted to show you, let's see if I can figure this out. Here's a scene my little computer. Working. We'll see. Let's see if this plays. Because this is really what it's all about. It's not actually a plan. You put on your phone with you? How many of you have ever heard how many kings? I don't know, this one, if Kurt's available, or if there's somewhere that has Wi-Fi, I don't know the video on this. How many of you have heard this song, How Many Kings?
provisioning is right outside the
door. Oh, here they are. I want to just leave us with this, because it really is all about Jesus. Can you turn it up? If you want to, you can look that up on Google. It's a beautiful song, and I love the way that it goes with it. And this is what I think of every single day. And my appreciation for my salvation has become so great. Because life on earth is short, and eternity is forever. And a few thousand years of eternity, and I look back and say, what was that earth thing that we did? Second earth thing you did. Keeping that perspective helps you walk through this one. And I just want to thank you, ladies. I know this was long, but thank you for your attention. I appreciate it so much, and I hope it wasn't too much. But I can't tell you what a blessing and very emotional. But God said, I wanted to do one of those things was to be here with you. And there are so many beautiful faces out there. My whole adult life I grew up with, we grew up together through lots of stuff. And I see so many beautiful girls too. And I'm just so thankful to be here. Such a blessing. And thank you for sharing it with me. I love you. You're my sisters. I just love having this girl time. And I just want to quickly pray and thank God for it. Father God, we are just come on you and your Son, and our Savior, our salvation, and all the things that you've given us. You bless us in so many ways, and you give us so many gifts. And all we have to do is just believe and trust and let you do the work, and thank you that the battle is not ours. Because we can't fight it. We don't have the strength. Thank you that you allow us to live so we can experience your power in a greater way. Thank you for this time that we have had together. Please continue to draw us near you. Please continue to teach us and grow us in your grace and your word. And we just praise you for all you are, all you do, and all you're going to do. Thank you for your sweet ladies to select each one of their lives. Pray all these things for our Savior's precious name.
Just want to say this has really been an answer to a long-term prayer of mine, because when we heard about the accident that Kurt and Sherry went through, my husband and I both started praying that God would restore her enough to bring ministry through what they had suffered, and he's really, really done that for us today. And Sherry, I think I can speak for all of us that we do want to enter into being a part of the provision in your life through prayer and also through support. Ladies, there's envelopes and there's an offering box at the back of the room. And if there is any way that you could give any little bit to help Sherry and Kurt with the just the daily expenses that they have, you can imagine how hard it is just to keep going. But we also want to bless them so that they have provision to continue to minister to other people like they have ministered to us today. So I think we can all just say amen. Amen. We praise our Lord. We praise our Lord. There's plenty, there's an abundance of food here. All week as we were preparing for the ministry, I kept thinking, you know, I don't want to run out of food, so I'm like throwing things in the grocery cart. And now I'm seeing there was way too much throwing going on. So please stay and join us for lunch.
Can we just say a prayer for the food?
Sure. We've been invaded by the men. Welcome.
All right, let's just pray, and there's a whole wagon load of food out there. Firehouse up, so give you something hot to think about. Let's go ahead and pray.